How are you hearing the King James Version for these Christmas stories? It's quaint, and yet, for some of us, it's holy because it's what we heard as we were growing up. It's kind of hard to understand sometimes. I can't even read it just like it is. Wist ye not that I should be about my Father's business? Didn't you know that? Wist comes from wisdom, I guess. Were you not wise to that? It's a little hard to read. I'm not saying we should read from King James all the time, believe me, but it's kind of neat to read these traditional stories that we share every year from the pulpit Bible or the one that's on the altar table. That book is pretty old in itself, I think. There were many outstanding traits that Jesus had that would be good for all of us to have as a part of our basic character. It says in that text that he went back home with them and he was subject to them. He was subject to his parents. Even Jesus the Lord followed the command to obey parents as he was growing up as a little boy. He was about his Father's business, though, even at an early age. Not just his earthly father in the carpentry shop, which, of course, is a trade that Joseph, his father, taught Jesus, the young boy, and Jesus was a carpenter himself. Odd that he was crucified on hewn wooden beams that some other carpenter made. But he was also interested in spiritual things while he was a youth. He taught in the temple when he was only 12 years old, and he had significant things to say, apparently, because the elders, and that would be the rabbis, those who were known as teacher, who were in this most sacred place, the temple in Jerusalem, on this occasion, were sitting in amazement of the things that Jesus was saying at 12 years old. Jesus lived not selfishly, but for others. He accomplished God's will in his life, and he left an example that all of us can follow of walking in the way that God has prepared and called us for. Near the end of this reading, though, there is this passage that sums up how Jesus grew. And this is kind of where the Christian year goes into hyperdrive, because we really don't have much childhood story about Jesus. It's summed up here. A whole lifetime of a child is summed up in these words, that he continued to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with humankind. And aren't those the very same areas that we like to focus on as we think of growing? Wisdom. To grow in as we reflect God's wisdom and to make good choices and to live into that. Of course we grow in stature. Some of us kind of hope that we'll stop growing in stature after a time, in width at least. But we grow in physical form, of course. That's important, and it's vital for our children as they grow, to grow well and to be well nourished. That was true for Jesus as well. He grew in stature. He grew in his physical form. But it also says another thing, and this is our goal as well, to grow in favor with God, to grow in our understanding of God's blessing. You know that while a gift can be under the Christmas tree, in fact, there are still some unopened gifts at our place, but it's not really a gift until it's received, right? Well, when we talk about God's favor, it's most certainly a gift. But it's a gift that is not very meaningful if it's not welcomed and received, opened and applied. When God gives us the gift of helping us grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and humankind. There's some obedience implied in that, because that gift, that's a gift that just can't be, that especially the last one, the favor with God and humankind, is a gift that really just can't be realized until we participate in it, until we open it. I think we're called to grow in these same ways that Jesus was blessed and grew. Well, I'd like to spend a moment with each of those to talk about wisdom first. To advance in wisdom is to grow intellectually or mentally. That's our character, our sense of judgment, of making good choices. And we should always grow in that. Even adults don't always make the best choices. So this isn't just a matter of growing up from childhood into adulthood. It's a matter of adults continuing to grow and make better and better choices. Wisdom is the quality of being wise, okay? The power of making good judgments, judging rightly and following the soundest and best course of action. We have books of wisdom in the Old Testament, the Song of Solomon and the Proverbs. Those are books that help us to understand God's wisdom and help us to begin to appropriate that in our lives. If we follow the pattern of Jesus, we should know the Scriptures, know the law, even be able to teach it to our children. That's a part of wisdom. I've heard it said that it's not going to matter much how much you get into the Bible unless the Bible gets into you. Unless it makes a difference. Unless the Word of God makes a difference and grows inside you and bears fruit inside you. Those are parts of wisdom. Of course, we talk about stature. And that brings to mind all the good health things that we try to do. Eat well and grow well. I imagine that you have some New Year's resolutions for those kinds of things, if you're like me, that are on your mind right now as we speed toward 2016. Maybe it's to eat healthier. Maybe it's to eat less. Maybe it's to join a health club and work out more. Maybe it's just simply to walk in your neighborhood, which is an excellent thing to do. There are essentials to good health in our bodies. To eat proper food, to exercise, to keep it free of diseases, to be careful, to keep our immunities up. And those are all important things. But the thing that I'd like to get to today is the favor thing. And this favor thing is two parts to it, because it clearly says Jesus grew in favor with God and with humankind. So with the human part of that, it's to develop socially, to make friends, to have healthy relationships, to be generous in our relationships so that they're not one-sided. You know, to have a friend, you have to be a friend kind of thing. It works both ways. And friendships are covenant-based in many of the same ways that marriages and family relationships are covenant-based. God gives us the illustration for that in our covenant of grace in Jesus Christ. So God calls us to healthy relationships, human favor, but also to favor with God. Now Jesus had a deal on that we can't quite get to. Jesus was God's only begotten Son. So how could there be anything but favor? You know how you love your children, even when they're not lovable sometimes. But it goes both ways. It's not just about God loving us. It's about us loving God and favoring God. That means choosing God over other things. It means that God is our favorite companion. And that comes from worship and meditation. It comes from reading the Word and living the Word and trying to make it the ruler of our lives. Those are some things that I wanted to share with you about favor. The word favor itself caused me to do some thinking. It's very close to our word favorite. We have a favorite aunt, or favorite shirt, or maybe the favorite house I've lived in, and I've lived in quite a few different houses. Or we might use the word favor to talk about who we look like. You know, we might, as a child grows, we might say, who does he favor? Or who's he going to look like? Well, I believe he's going to look like his mama. Or maybe in some cases, he doesn't really favor either one of us. And then there are cases where even adopted children tend to kind of favor their parents that are raising them. They kind of take on the characteristics. Even though they're not blood related, they tend to kind of blend in with the family. Some of my parents and grandparents used to ask the question like this: who does he take after? Who does he take after? Maybe the best answer for that is, who is his favorite? Like in an adopted child situation where the child didn't know his own natural parents, but rather falls in love with those who loved him. He chooses them, and therefore he begins to look like them. And they'll say, he favors his father. Somebody that he will look like or even imitate. We imitate who we favor. And we begin to favor those who we admire and imitate. It's like peer pressure. You want to fit in, so you do what everybody else is doing. If you want to fit into your family, you want to blend, you want to imitate those you love and care about and who you know love you. That's why we as parents have such an important job as role models for our young ones, because they look up to us and they want to be like us. Well, that's all about the ways that we grow. But I'd like for us to be really careful who we favor, who we imitate, who we want to be like. As we grow as a church, we have that image as a body as well, not just as individuals. But as we move into the next few weeks, especially the first two Sundays of January, we're going to speed through the Christian year, and we're going to be advancing very quickly toward Lent and Easter. And that doesn't leave us much time to explore all of this. But as we move into the next two Sundays, next Sunday, of course, we'll celebrate Epiphany, the coming of the wise men and the appearance of Jesus to the entire world as the kings travel back to their kingdoms. And then on the second Sunday of January, we'll celebrate the baptism of the Lord when Jesus is an adult and goes to John by the side of the river to be baptized. So we're kind of going into, as I said earlier, kind of into hyperdrive because we're moving fast here. But I want us to spend some time with this favor thing. And so for the next two Sundays, I'm going to be sharing with you how I think we need to make some moves in the life of our congregation. How we can grow closer to God. And how we can more adequately draw others closer. I have some clear things, not to get into today, but I have some clear things to establish with you next Sunday and the Sunday after. So I hope that you can be, there'll be some overlap between those two Sundays, because I'm well aware that especially this time of year, some of you are not here every Sunday. So those two days will be similar. But I'd like to share with the whole congregation my vision for how we can favor God more closely, how we can grow more close in our life together to what God has called us and created us to be. I have some very specific things. I probably have more things written down than what I will actually share with you, because I don't want to overwhelm, and there's plenty of time for expanding it. But I intend to share with you some ways that we, as a church family, as leaders, and many of you are among this family of faith, the ways that we can grow as Jesus did in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and our community.